Moncrief on News Talk.
As you know, there was a bit of a standoff between the government and the Rotunda Hospital over consultants on public-only contracts, having the latitude to also take on private patients. From the government's point of view, this was double jobbing and had to end. But as Gavin Riley points out in today's journal, that could be construed as a bit rich coming from full-time public representatives, many of whom double job. And that excludes landlords. Gavin, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, Sean. How are you?
So the rules are, in terms of the expression of interests and all that, do they have to say if they have another job?
Yes, that is the basis of it. Now, obviously, there is nothing to forbid TDs from having other jobs. And part of the whole rules around expressions of interest are the disclosures of interest require you to disclose if you are a landowner in other areas or any company that you might own shares in or anything that you might be a stockholder in. It's effectively to ensure that there is transparency in whatever other financial interest you might have. Yeah, but what it does show is that if you exclude landlords, and we might come back to landlords because there might be a dispute around how much of a job being a landlord is. Hmm. But even if you exclude being a landlord, 29 TDs have disclosed that they are the owners of or operators of some other business, or they've got some other trade on the side, which effectively amounts to one in six, because there are 174 members of Dáil Éireann, and 29 of them is literally one sixth of the total who do have some other, if you like, a side hustle or some other private interest on the side, as well as being full-time TDs.
Yeah, now, and some of those are actual jobs like doctors and solicitors and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there are at least three practicing solicitors. There's three practicing barristers. One of them is a GP. Dr. Martin Daly is a Fianna Fáil TD from Roscommon. He's a GP in the area. There's two publicans, including obviously famously Danny Healy-Ray, who operates the pub that still has his late father Jackie's name over the door. But there's also John Clendenin, who's a publican in Offaly, not alone just a publican, but also his route into politics and being a Fine Gael TD is that he's also the head, or was previously the head, of the Vintners Federation. So he was literally not just a publican, but literally the voice of publicans in the country. And then you have any number of other people who have solicitors, quite a few farmers and people who have farming contractor jobs as well. There's almost a dozen of those as well. So there's quite a broad gamut of different professions, and a lot of people who not only actually wear one different hat, but in fact, in a couple of well-documented cases, people who literally have five or six different professional hats.
Yeah, now, because presumably do they go into this detail in the declaration of interest that I own a pub, and on a Thursday night, I'm down there pulling pints? Or is it just I own a pub and someone else is running it for me?
Some of them actually voluntarily go into a little bit more detail. And in fact, the register for 2025, which is the last one that we have, five TDs, and I didn't include them in the figure of 29, five people disclosed that they did have some other jobs, but that because they had now just become TDs, they were beginning to phase their way out of it. So they were sort of disclosing that this is a job that they've had previously, but that they're sort of trying to wind their way out of. But no, there is no requirement for them to say whether they've left the whole thing in the complete care of somebody else or whether they muck in. I mean, one might argue that if you are the owner of or the director of a company, even if you're not the one that's standing behind the tail or behind the bar or whatever it is, that you still do have some corporate responsibilities. And of course, you're still personally financially vested in the performance of your pub or your solicitor's firm or your pharmacy in one case or whatever it might be. So although there is no full transparency around the full amount of hours that these other jobs might take from them, nonetheless, their interests are still there. And even if they are not the one that's there pulling the pints on a Thursday, obviously, if they are the one who gets the profit or makes the loss at the end of the year, it is still something that motivates them, obviously.
Yeah, and you'd think even if they had nothing to do with the day-to-day running, they'd have to have some involvement in overseeing whatever business they
because if you're not the one pulling the pints, you have to employ the one who's pulling the pints. So ultimately, yes, you're kind of vicariously responsible one way or another. Yes.
Are there any TDs who have more than one side hustle?
There's a few. The Healy-Ray brothers are kind of well-documented examples, but Michael Healy-Ray is regularly sort of vaulted as possibly being the wealthiest member of the Dáil, but he is a serial landlord. I think the last time that I took a full spec of it, I think he has 18 or 19 different properties in County Kerry and beyond. He also operates, as anyone who's been to Kilgarvan will know, he operates the filling station there. Danny Healy-Ray, also his brother, has, as I mentioned, the pub, but he also operates a plant hire business in Kilgarvan, and as well, he has a bus rental company as well. So he too also has extensive interests. Michael Fitzmaurice, not often as well vaunted, but he lists a whole series of other interests. He is a farmer, an agricultural contractor, a civil contractor, some land interests as well. There's quite other few ones that aren't necessarily as well known, although not wearing multiple hats. Kevin Boxer Moran, for example, runs or is listed as owning or operating a taxi company in Athlone. And I mentioned a pharmacy, Gillian Toole, who's an independent TD in Meath East, although she discloses that she kind of weaned herself off the day-to-day running of it. She runs a chain of pharmacies in Dunshaughlin and Rattoath and areas around that in the commuter belt in Meath. So there's quite a broad gamut. But yeah, some people do have multiple different interests, which might beg questions for them as to how they are able to juggle ostensibly the full-time duties of being a full-time legislator and the different responsibilities in the community and the constituency and also in Leinster House. But evidently, if they are known for having these business interests and people elect them, evidently people are somewhat comfortable in allowing them to wear two hats at once.
Do the rules differ at all if you're a member of the cabinet?
No, the rules don't differ, although it is broadly presumed that if you're a member of the cabinet or even if you're a minister of state, that you generally just don't have the mental bandwidth. And there's quite a few cases of people, like, for example, Jim O'Callaghan, who was still a practicing barrister, like well known as a senior counsel, was a practicing barrister until the 21st of January of last year. But he disclosed that as of the 21st of January, which was the day that he became the Minister for Justice, he obviously said, well, I ain't going to be practicing at the bar anymore because my time is basically not my own anymore. So although it is not officially barred, generally speaking, there's a perception that you just don't have the hours in the day or that you don't have the bandwidth to be able to do something else. Because as many people who are in cabinet jobs generally report, it's not even just a 3 or 4 or 5 day a week job. It ends up being a 7 day a week job. And it's almost impossible to do the constituency work that one might be expected to do as a TD if you're also wearing a ministerial hat for 7 days a week as well.
Now, so that like 29 of them have a sixth of them have some other thing going on. How many landlords are in the Dáil?
31. And some of those are also then people who have other interests, like, for example, the Healy Ray brothers, who are also landowners, or Michael Fitzmaurice, who has some landowners as well. There are 31 people who have are landlords or at least have some degree of rental income. That includes one who disclosed owning a family holiday home, which they had been renting out for lettings as well, which they've stopped doing. And two TDs who are participating in the rent a room scheme. So they owned their own house and they were also taking in a lodger and availing of that on the basis as well. But there were 28 people who own properties and who let them out on a commercial basis. And the reason why I didn't include them in the figure for the column that I wrote for the Journal was because, as I mentioned earlier, there might be differing views as to whether that is a job or not. I mean, many serial landlords might tell you that, of course, they have obligations to make sure the upkeep of any rental properties they might have and to make sure that they are, you know, keeping an active interest with their tenants. Many tenants, of course, might not see it that way, and they might just see it as something of an ATM where the landlord doesn't put anything in but gets everything out. But because there's that dispute, I didn't include that in the overall figure. But if you did, then the numbers who have some other income from some other profession of some sort would rise to 61, which is just an illustration of how some people don't always have their eye full time on their duties as a TD because they do have some other commercial interests that will distract them from time to time.
Yeah, because I suppose no one could argue being a landlord is a full time job, but occasionally tenants will say the plumbing's broken or something needs to be fixed, plus they have to do their tax returns every year, so it will take up something of their time. And for a modern TD, even if they're not a minister or a junior minister, it is essentially close enough to a 7 day a week job, surely.
Oh yeah, pretty much so. I think, I mean, a lot of them try to, at best, like block off a few hours on a Saturday or on a Sunday that they can keep completely to themselves. But at the very least, with the constituency obligations that they have, the 3 days a week that they do in Leinster House, but then their constituency work on a Monday and Friday, probably being expected to attend other events in the constituency on either a Saturday or a Sunday, or possibly both, it is at the very least a 6 day a week job. Now, it is worth saying for a little bit of context that it wasn't always the case. And there was historically a view that actually being a TD in decades past wouldn't really have been a full-time job. Mm. And in fact, it's only we have the perception now of TDs as being very well paid with the very handsome allowances regime that they also have as well. But it was only until the mid to late 1970s that the job of a TD actually carried something comparable to a full-time wage. In fact, the decades before that, from 1919, when the Dáil was first established, right up until the 70s, there was either no wage at all or the wage was so relatively modest that it wouldn't really have sustained you as a full-time job anyway. And that in its own way meant that politics ended up being quite exclusive, because you could only afford to be a TD if you had some other handsome career as a farmer or maybe as a barrister that would allow you to sustain the job, because you were spending so long working as a TD or working in Leinster House or doing whatever else you were doing.
Yeah.
And not actually having the financial reward for it. And if you go back even further, although the Dáil now works, it doesn't sit on a Monday or a Friday, but it can sit pretty crazy hours on a Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. When the Dáil was first established, it was commonplace for the Dáil not to sit until 2:30 in the afternoon. And the reason for that was it was giving you time either to do some other job in the morning, to tend to the farm or whatever it might be, or because the Dáil was so packed full of barristers, often you'd have half the Dáil down at the law library in the forecourts in the morning, practicing the law and telling the courts how they should interpret the law, and then going down to Leinster House in the afternoon and helping to write the law itself.
My word, that's interesting. But I suppose, and the fact that they increased the salary for being a TD to the level where it was regarded as a full-time job, was that based on a perception that perhaps only a relatively small cohort of society could afford to become elected representatives?
Yes, it was partly that, definitely, because they wanted to sort of to the perception of making politics a little more equitable, and the idea that at least if they paid you handsomely, then at least you didn't have to be able to sustain yourself in some other way. And it did, to some degree, democratize it, even if people are a little uneasy about the idea of TDs now getting paid what is effectively double the annual industrial wage or double the median wage. One other thing was that there was the perception that if politicians didn't earn very much from their politics, it meant they were prospectively up for auction in other more corruptible ways. Mm. And you still have the legacy of that to some degree in local authorities, where, like, although there's no evidence that it still happens nowadays, that the various findings of different tribunals about the corruption of the planning process and offering backhanders to members of local authorities, they were perceived as being slightly easier to manipulate, because even to this day, the pay or the allowances for members of local authorities, although that's approaching full-time hours now, is still relatively little. Most councillors only get between allowances and whatnot, so somewhere between 20 and 30,000 a year. So it's not a full-time wage for them. And the idea of paying a full-time wage for TDs at least sort of meant that they were, if they could be financially independent, that they would also be emotionally independent and not beholden to any other interests who might try to buy them off with direct or indirect financial favours, looking for help in one area or another.
Given that the position that the government took against consultants double jobbing, it seemed to have been widely supported both within and in the opposition parties as well. Is there any kind of maybe move or taste for tightening up the rules about TDs having another job?
I don't think there's any real appetite to try and clamp down on it. I mean, firstly, it will be a case of, like, physician, heal thyself, because ultimately TDs declare their own working circumstances. And if one in six of them literally have other jobs or other businesses, and then another same number again might also just be landlords through one means or another, I don't think there would be very much appetite. In fact, you might argue that it might almost discourage some people from getting into politics if they were also then encouraged to sell their businesses or put them in blind trusts or to sell off any land interest they might have. One might also argue, though, as well, that there's a certain degree of representation, that although people are unhappy or uneasy with the idea of landlords being there, that, you know, it is correct that there might be as many tenants in the Dáil as landlords, so there might be a kind of argument of that. But generally speaking, that there is a general view that they're all broadly happy with what they do, and that if they believe that they think it's possible for them to do something else after hours or on a Monday or a Friday or at weekends, that, or if they're prepared to employ other people to do it, that if they are comfortable with the arrangement as it is, then they don't see any reason why it change. Now, you can certainly say, going back to the very thing that we started about, that there's a touch of hypocrisy, or maybe people turning the mirror upon themselves, if they are unhappy with people who have full-time jobs as consultants also doing private nixers on the side. One might also argue, well, if you're a full-time TD, why do you think you are capable of doing some other private job on the side as well? But nonetheless, that is as it is, and I don't imagine the TDs would be terribly quick to try and rule themselves out of that. And ultimately, if it is TDs themselves that control that sort of rule, I don't imagine there'll be very much of an appetite for them to start divesting themselves or to make themselves fully independent when they go in.
Gavin, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Gavin Riley there, political correspondent for Virgin Media News and the host of Monday with Gavin Riley.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.